change gears, come back to the United States, and flip the back of your bulletin over. And we're going to look at just one more time here about this preeminence of Christ. Next week will be Pastor John. And if God is able to tear me away from Colossians, we'll start a new study. Otherwise, it's been so long since we've been doing this, we almost should kind of review and wrap it all up. But yeah, you guys are laughing. Okay, we won't. One more quick word of prayer. I got to change mindset too, and let's talk about the preeminence of Christ in speech. So again, Father, with the time remaining, we just pray, Father, that we will now not so much be looking at what has been done in the Ukraine. And again, we had four people make professions of faith as a result of our being there. Two right in our presence, and then two came up and said, as a result of our trip last year, they repented. And then again, just the things that are going on with the addiction centers, with the churches, and how we've ministered in other, the village churches and such. It's just amazing, God, what you're doing. But now what we need to do is take our shift from missions and focus it on self. And again, Father, I do pray that as we've gone for many, many times together, as we've been talking about the preeminence of Christ, I do pray, Father, that that thought, those combinations of words are not only thought of on a Sunday morning, but because of continual repetition, it'd be great if it was at least a daily thought, the preeminence of Christ, and how is that going to determine what we will do, what we will not do. And more importantly, Father, as we're looking at it today, of what we will say and what we will not say. So again, Father, in the time remaining, continue to work in our hearts and lives, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, those of you that are with us here for maybe just a couple of Sundays, go to Colossians in your Bibles there. If you were in Ephesians, it's just a few more pages to the back. So Ephesians was on page 1039 in a pew Bible if you didn't bring one. And just go, I don't know, 10, 12 pages to the back, you'll come to Colossians. And what I want to do is, again, just lay this preeminence concept down for you in case there's some who maybe are hearing it for the first time or haven't been reminded of it quite as frequently as we have. And it's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And in Colossians chapter 1, then you see the little verses after it, or the little numbers after it, go down till you see verse 18. And it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he may have the preeminence." And then in that chapter preceding, he gives three reasons why Christ is to be preeminent in all things. So then what I tried to do, and I don't think it was doing too much injustice to the text, was I tried to then develop the rest of the teaching here of Colossians that Christ would be preeminent in all things. So, while you're flipping to chapter 4, give me some ideas of, or what would be some synonyms of the word preeminent. We say preeminent. What are some other words that would be maybe first place? Good. Foremost, first place. These are good. How about just a couple more similar type words? Yes. Top priority. Excellent. Supreme. Excellent. Maybe one more? Yes, Jacob. Utmost importance. So Christ then must be utmost importance, supreme, first place, etc., in our lives, in everything. And I think then it's not going to be, you know, taking the verse out of context when we look at our speech. So let's go now to chapter 4. And we see, "Masters, give your bondservants what is fair and just, knowing you also have a master in heaven." So there's some preeminence of Christ that would be undergirding or motivating that. "You and I need to be continually earnest in prayer." And again, Paul deals much with prayer. And I hope that we are praying the prayer that Paul is praying in Colossians chapter 1 as well, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If you're looking, wondering what I'm saying there, it's down there in verses 9 and 10. And then also of chapter 1, that we would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him unto every good work. And then also in verse 11, that we'd be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for that perseverance, and also that we could be suffering long with joy. So because of the preeminence of Christ, we are going to be earnest in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We're going to be praying again that we would continue to have a doors of opportunity, whether here in the Oxford Valley area or in the Poltava region of Komsomolsk, of being able to show people this wonderful good news in which we have. As we walk through this a little bit further there in verse 5, that we would live in a very wise way. And that's why, again, we need to be praying in Colossians 1, 9, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we could walk wisely in the world in which we live, that we would also then be redeeming the time. And this is where we're going to just finish up our time here in Colossians, where it says, let your speech always be with grace. Now, what does the word always mean? Excellent. So is there ever an opportunity where our speech is not to be with grace? No. Always. We're always to have gracious speech. It's also to be seasoned with salt, with the resulting condition that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Grace. Grace. Okay, we talked a little bit about the word always. Let me give you a couple ideas of grace. Grace. What does the word gracious mean? What are some words or phrases that might come in your mind when we think about someone speaking graciously, or that their speech is always to be gracious? Well, there's many ideas, one of which would be, well, that which would be spiritual, maybe that which would be holy.